Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt.
Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis and I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swerve Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How are you? Are you still a bit sleepy?
I'm still a bit sleepy, but hey, I've been woken up by all the Meg stuff. Am I right?
Oh, right, Meghan Markle. I was wondering what the hell you were talking about for a second. And I was like, is this the thing that he keeps running with in the news about like the ex-girlfriend? And I was like, is that her name? But no, of course, you're referring to Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's shock interview with Oprah Winfrey.
Lol, no, I'm not. I watched The Meg last night with Jason Statham.
And how was it?
Oh my God, it's crap. It's so bad. Oh, it's terrible. It's it really oscillates as well. Starts off as like exactly what I want, which is Deep Blue Sea with a bigger shark and Jason Statham. That's what I wanted. But then it has a really, really odd middle bit where they try and do the movie... What's the film where they're just in the middle of the ocean and they can't get back on the boat? There were two movies that came out like that. You know,
yeah,
the movie.
Like Deep Water.
Adrift, I think one is called, and Deep Water, yes. They do that for half an hour. And then the final act is Jaws.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. But this film, like when it started, was like, hey, we're going to be Jaws. And I was watching, I was listening to a podcast. It's How Did This Get Made? I think it's on the episode Deep Blue Sea, or maybe it's on another one. But it feels like every shark movie that comes out always feels like it has to be Jaws. And every time they try, it's mission not accomplished because no one ever manages to be Jaws. And like, I think it's Rob Corddry who's on the episode. It's just like, how do we stand on shark films? Is it still just the one good one? That's what we've got now. It's the one good shark movie.
I heard that in Rob Corddry's voice when he was saying it, actually. I'll go to bat for the first and arguably second Sharknadoes, but yeah, the rest are guffins. Deep Blue Sea actually is a
Deep
masterpiece.
Blue Sea's rad. Oh yeah, it's rad.
So good. So good. And I rewatched that in the cold, cynical light of my late 20s. Not as how it's meant to be consumed as a sort of early adolescent boy when I first watched it. But I still loved it. I still thought it was a masterpiece.
I think it's
so very funny.
Great. Yeah, really good, actually. And if you haven't heard How Did This Get Made before, I would recommend the episode Deep Blue Sea. Because it's not Rob Corddry. It's Paul F. Tompkins. Okay. And it's Paul Tompkins. And one of the writers of Deadpool, I think, is on the episode. And he's really, really funny. Like, it's a great episode. Mm. So I would highly, highly recommend that. Did you have your Domino's last night with your Meg?
I did. Meg and Domino's, both disappointing. You know, it's meant the whole point of modern capitalist food, fast food production is that I want everything to taste the same.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes with my local Domino's, they just put a bit too much sauce in.
And is that a bad thing?
Well, you know, it can be too saucy. Oh, you're like this though. We tried the vegan chicken nuggets.
Oh, I didn't even know they were doing vegan chicken nuggets. Are they like, because what I found with a lot of these huge corporations doing vegan options for things, you know, like Greg's, you know, controversially had a sausage roll that was vegan and a steak bake that was vegan. And then KFC last year, pre-pandemic, were doing their burger. But actually all three of them are just corn products. Like, so it's not like they have made a fake meat alternative. They've just hired corn to supply them with some bits and bobs, and then they just put those into their stuff. So it's not usually great, because corn aren't the best for their meat replacement stuff. But how were the nugs?
The nugs, well, I think the benefit of stuff like sausage rolls, chicken nuggets, is that it's toy food from the offset. Like the meat version. It's not a prime rib steak, is it?
Absolutely not. Sausage rolls don't taste like sausage, and chicken nuggets don't taste like chicken.
Yeah, so they're very easy to reproduce in a weird Play-Doh-y-like texture.
Yeah, it's basically just the crumb on the outside that you're looking to replicate. That's where the taste comes from. Chicken on its own tastes of nothing, but you put some nice spices on it, and then it tastes of nice stuff.
So my Monday recap, can recommend vegan nuggets, can partly recommend Domino's in a sort of Leighton area. The Meg, I cannot in good conscience recommend. I thought it would be so silly it was good. It just was a bit crap near the end. Although, actually, no, I take that back, because it is worth watching just for Jason Statham to walk into a meeting that he has no business being part of when they're discussing what this giant shark could be. And he just walks and goes, "Here's a megalodon."
Yeah. Oh my God. It's megalodon.
The megalodon. He is something else. I love him.
Well, let's get into the show itself. Let's talk about Raw, a show that I didn't love as much as I love Jason Statham. Thought it was just, it was a show, but here it is.
Sorry, is this working? Let me get another mic. This one's working. So what I wanted to say to you, Luke, is, you know, when I think about things about Raw, what I'm trying to say is, at the end of the day,
get your point out. Get your point out already. What do you want to say?
Shane McMahon's brain is broken, and it's a work. I'm Mr. Davis, the cutest wrestling personality on the internet. Kawaii. Watashi wa arriba desu. Konnichiwa. Ohayou gozaimasu. And I'm joined.
You said to me at the start of the stream, we need to go 60 minutes. I am going to keep you to time. So you spent 30 seconds pulling out a new kawaii gimmick.
It's my new gimmick. Kawaii, arribades, cutest wrestling personality on the internet.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully the show will still go the 60-minute time limit that Ollie Davis has set for us.
Well, I can sum up this this segment in 10 minutes, condensed down to a few. It was bonkers, it was weird, and it was all intentional, according to backstage reports from Sean Ross Sapp. So what happened if you have had the pleasure to not watch this episode? A big bulk of the show was taken up with one promo from Shane McMahon, and a larger bulk was taken up with the surrounding story, which is his feud with Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman's angry with Shane. I don't really know why. They said some reasons. We'll jump into them. So Braun demanded an apology from Shane. Shane came down and then said, "I'm sorry," getting right in Strowman's face. It wasn't a genuine apology, you know, the sort. Shane walks off. Later on in the show, Shane decides to come down and do the complete opposite of that, which is do a long, rambly, never-ending promo that never got to the point, which was, you know, I was like, okay, he's doing a heel thing. Kind of like when Chris Jericho returned and he would troll the fans by just doing the entrance and like, yeah, just cheering and then walking out. Brilliant bit of heel work there. The difference is Chris Jericho has something called charisma and acting talent, whereas Shane McMahon does not have enough of those facets to make this kind of idea a success. And it just went on forever. He eventually called Braun Strowman stupid, and Braun Strowman chased him. Shane McMahon ran away, looked like he fled in a car, and Braun was like, oh, damn it, and just walked off, like looking rubbish. And then Shane appears from presumably full sight of Braun and just goes, ha ha ha, he is stupid. Yeah.
So last week, well, you know, the last couple of weeks, WWE thought, do you know what was really good 10 years ago? The Miz as champion. So we'll do that again. And clearly Shane in the creative meeting was like, do you know what was good 21 years ago? My feud with the Big Show where I was doing the which way did he go? Ho 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 ho, which way did he go? And they're just redoing that again. Only sort of there it worked because Shane was a punk. Shane was this punk kid because it was 21 years ago. Shane now is the same age as his dad was when his dad debuted the Mr. McMahon character.
Whoa.
So it doesn't work as well this much when he's being like, which way did he go? Ho, 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 the big dumb giants. And I don't think Shane is charismatic enough to carry this off. I genuinely thought this was a massive balls up because Shane was like, yeah, like the mic's working, but he's like, oh, can I get a new mic? Oh, can I get this mic? Can I get this mic? Oh, I need to check. Is this mic working? And then spent a long portion of time just going like, and we've seen Shane, since he came back, forget promos. And he just sort of stands in the ring and just like looks like he's, you know, this lost sheep that is like, oh, I forgot what my point was. But this time it's by design. He forgot it on purpose. And it's, according to Sean, it's because they're trying to make him their heel in this. We're not supposed to like Shane. So we are then excited to see Braun get his hands on him. Which I think you can do without the Shane promo. You can just do the Shane doing the, which way did he go? Ho, ho, ho. Like just doing that stuff without the need for this breathy promo of nothing.
You sounded like a dog in heat when you were making those exhaling noises.
Braun, NBA book, management, sneakers, whatever the content of his promo was. I wasn't fully keeping up with it.
I've seen a lot of people think that, you know, Shane, people thought he was having health problems.
Yeah,
and usually
right?
Be like, hey, man, that's a good performance. We had that not too long ago with Kyle O'Reilly, pro wrestler, being so good at pro wrestling. People thought a beatdown was for real. So that's what wrestling's meant to be, right? Not in this case. This was us being concerned for Shane McMahon, the performer, not the character. And, you know, we've seen it. Like you said, we've seen him forget promos. We've seen him get incredibly sweaty just by speaking on the mic. And here he was just like covered in. Nothing worked. The idea was bad. It's like WWE do this where they confuse people. I guess they've had it for so long with no real competition. They confuse actual genuine heat against characters that people will buy pay-per-views, tune into next week's episode to see get their comeuppance, with people being really upset with crappy creative ideas. So they're like, oh, I know, we'll put on some bad telly because that will build the heat, right? But no, it'll just stop people tuning in and it will be torturous to sit through. This was so bad.
This was bad. And they were piping in Shane O'Mac chants as well. So it still makes me think that they think that he's the babyface. What kind of irks me about this is I think some of the content of this promo was pretty good. I quite like this idea of Shane being like, look, he's literally grabs the mic and he runs away from Braun. And he said, I wanted to say this to you face to face. Like, that's really funny. Like, he didn't, like, as he's running away from him saying, I want to say this to you face to face. And then goes through this whole like stuff where he's like forgetting his words and then says, now, I would never call you stupid. I would never say you're so stupid you fell from a tree and hit all of the stupid branches on the way down. I would never say your aunt's stupid, this, that, and the other. And then at the end of it, it's like, but you are stupid, and then runs away. So there's some content of this promo that's really good. But kind of like what I said with The Miz cashing in and being this chicken S word character that's just trying to get out of things, it would have been so much better if this was a new character and not nearly like 50-year-old Shane still acting like he's in his 20s. Yes,
Ollie. Or Adam Pearce. Because I keep on thinking, what is happening here? Beyond the confines of this ridiculous promo, what is happening? Why are Shane and Braun feuding? And I don't think there's ever going to be this revelation promo, here's why I really hate you, Braun Strowman, because it seems to be based on Shane thinks Braun's stupid. So we've had Shane not put Braun in the Elimination Chamber match. Fine. That's kind of when Shane made his return and they sort of kicked all this off for no reason. Then there was the tag title thing the previous week, which is kind of a generous thing. Here's a tag title match. And it was Braun who tagged in Pierce, which kind of lost it for him. So the only like real tension between Braun and management is all those months ago when Adam Pearce had the audacity to say, last but not least, and Braun Strowman headbutted the guy. Like, why can't Adam Pearce have this role? He's a much better wrestler than Shane McMahon is.
Adam Pearce is not a star. Shane McMahon is a star. We need the stars for WrestleMania. That is why it's Shane McMahon. You're right. It makes totally way more sense if it's Adam Pearce. But Adam Pearce is Adam Pearce. What they need here is they need a star in Shane McMahon.
We also, like, Shane was a babyface last week. He was a big part of getting Miz into the ring for the match against Bobby Lashley. So Shane McMahon's a heel. Braun Strowman's a heel. Bobby Lashley's technically a heel. The Miz is a heel. In the main event of this show, Randy Orton's a heel. AJ Styles is a heel. That's a problem.
I think Bobby Lashley's a babyface now. Like, the promo that he cut on this show and like the presentation around him, I feel like he is a babyface, but MVP, Shelton Benjamin, and Cedric Alexander are still heels in the Hurt Business because they're feuding with New Day.
It'll be interesting to see how that dynamic changes when he enters this sort of inevitable feud with Drew. I feel like they'd want to make the roles a lot more defined, but we'll see. Also, in all of this, R-Truth did some Men in Black comedy by trying to erase Braun Strowman's mind.
He also did some Space Jam references. You know, film came out in 1996. Men in Black was actually a more current, up-to-date reference. It came out in 97. So that was a more up-to-date reference there. And, you know, Space Jam's in the news because they got the new film.
Yeah, because they made Lola Bunny minging. How dare they? She was so sexy beforehand. Come on.
How could I wank to this new version of Lola Bunny? Come on, guys. Sort it out, Warner Brothers.
I've tried and I couldn't do it. And that's not just because I'm in lockdown with my lady partner and there's no spare time anymore for Ollie. Kawaii, I'm the cutest.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, let's see what you guys think in the hyper chat. Get those all in to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Gonzalo Oliveira Fiale says, I think the whole Shane thing was to try and make Braun look stupid without him even noticing it, but the heavy breathing thing was just stupid. Bottom line, I actually enjoyed that segment, but not looking forward to that match at WrestleMania at all.
Oh, that match. I mean, I've been saying this is bad from the off, but I am not looking forward to Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman in a singles match. Oh, no thanks, mate. And you're right. Like, it's just, you've said this before, but it's just going to lead to Shane McMahon falling off something big, right? Like that. So Shane can go and do his yearly stunt. But it's, yeah, dude, like I said, it was this, we had this feud with the Big Show 21 years ago. Like I don't really fancy reliving that again, but now with a much older Shane in a character that doesn't make as much sense.
Might not be. Might be a straight up wrestling match. We've seen it.
You can out wrestle people. Yeah, you can out wrestle AJ Styles.
Poet the Poet's Poet. I haven't watched Raw since Hell in a Cell 2019. Very interesting that, because that's when The Fiend was sort of botched. And been keeping up with the product through you guys. Thus, I missed the Shane O'Braun interaction and was wondering, could you two give me a breath-to-breath recap? Jam that jam. I think we've done that already. No more breaths. It's off-putting. Alan Metz. Hello, guys. I've been watching wrestling my entire life, 32 years. I've never seen a time where Raw and SmackDown were so corny, predictable, and bad. Not really sure why I still watch it. I agree with Ollie. It's not bias. It's true. AEW is just better.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a perfectly fine episode of Raw. It felt like last week's episode in the sense of we got a lot of the same matches from last week's episode. But, you know, I thought it was pretty okay.
They're different audiences. You know, SmackDown and Raw, totally different thing to AEW and NXT. Alan Metz, at the end when Alexa set off Pyro to distract Orton and only three corners went off, was that a jab at AEW?
Did you not see? Yeah, only the bottom right corner didn't go off. It was not a jab at AEW. I think it's just a production error. However, then WWE on Fox's Twitter account like retweeted being like, "This is the great explosion I've ever seen." And I'm like, guys, yours went wrong as well. Not to the same degree, but I think if you're going to throw a stone, make sure that your stone is good.
It's all good fun. Greg Murphy, really enjoyed the start of Raw. Lash's entrance was great, sans lightning. He looked sans's without, in French. He looked like a beast. Then Raw got hyper weird. Steel Steps of Doom, Braun and Shane having two bad segments, and then black vomit. I hate when supernatural stories leak into others.
I think using French words in sentences is a bit passé.
Anthony Velasquez, thanks guys for watching Raw so I don't have to. I'd rather watch your Raw review than Raw itself, because it seems like Raw is bad every week. We get that a lot. We are the heroes in this situation. Jericho X Titan, thank you so much for being entertaining. Luke, your impressions are hilarious. WWE programming is awful. Drew versus Sheamus aside, why do you watch Raw? I get you have a job to do, but why?
It's my job to do so. That is why we do it. But thank you very much for the compliment, though. It's very kind of you.
Yeah, we wouldn't. We'd just catch up on YouTube, read live reports. Otherwise, I think that's what I would do. Watch the pay-per-views. Oh, yeah. Dex Sinister. I'd watch NXT. That's what I'd do. Dex Sinister. Hashtag Randy Orton to be transformed into the Fiend confirmed.
Well, this really felt like that's the way the story is going now, is that the Fiend is going to be born out of Randy Orton, right? Possibly, like, even in a Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania. Like, it's not Randy versus the Fiend. It's literally just Randy Orton goes into the Firefly Funhouse, and that is how we get the Fiend back. He is born out of, like, the whatever, out of his mouth.
Chestbuster style, or, yeah, he's going to vomit out a Fiend.
I'd love them to do it chestbuster style, because then we could get like a Randy Orton like prosthetic that's like like, you know, like an old alien movie, like, oh no, like the busting out one of the thing or something like that. If we could get like really good like 80s style prosthetics for this and the thing style, I would think that'd be awesome.
I think if you transition that into Baby Fiend, like how we got Baby Groot,
yeah,
it'll be smaller. It'll have to grow up.
Oh, Baby Fiend. Yeah, I like it.
Dylan Starr with a huge hyper chat. Thank you so much, Dylan. Thought Raw was boring. Actually fell asleep a little over halfway through hour two, so I can't comment. Here's $50 American endorsing Ollie as the cutest kawaii that kawaii. Watashiwa arabades. Ohayo gozaimasu. Konnichiwa.
This is a gimmick that is going to get over. This will get way more over than Mr. Davis.
I road tested it with my lady partner on our walk an hour ago. So yes, wait. Get all of your hyper chats. Get all of your hyper chats into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them. Right now, let's talk about this full episode of Raw Play-by-Play. Opened with a video recap package of Bobby Lashley winning the title last week from Miz. We got the whole story. And then we get a backstage cold open, really, after that, on the Hurt Business walking down the corridor, all in suits, draped in gold.
Oh, man, they look awesome. They look so cool. They look, and Bobby looks great as the WWE champion. And he then cuts this promo with Not Renee, essentially telling us what we just saw in the video package. But, you know, it's fine, because it's you know, Bobby Lashley's the champion. He looks great in the suit. And he tells the story that we just heard, you know, just 5 minutes earlier or 30 seconds earlier. And then, thankfully, The Miz comes out for his match against Bobby Lashley. And he also cuts a promo that recaps the video package that kicked off at the start of the night. And I was like, yeah, yep, I get it. I really do. I am following along with this story. I did not need three different ways of telling me the story.
I don't know who they think these are playing to, because fewer and fewer people are watching Raw every week. It's not like there's these drastic increases of viewership where, oh man, we got to catch people up. No, you're driving away viewers. Miz really went detailed as well. He went every single way he schemed out of that having the match. It was
fun fact,
boring.
We actually just passed the anniversary of TNA going live every Monday night against Raw. Like, the Monday Night War started again. And as a lot of people pointed out, those two combined shows drew nearly 7 million viewers, like, across two shows. And here we are, 10 years later, and barely two. are watching Raw. But yeah, they feel the need to facilitate those two by explaining these storylines in great detail. Also, lovely to see Miz getting his automatic rematch clause that no longer exists.
And there were no authority figures here. It's a new WWE. Bobby Lashley got a match with The Miz. You know what, like, as repetitive as the opening was up until this point, I enjoyed how much of the show in one, like, complete segment was focused. It wasn't jumping around like, here's a backstage interview, here's a video package, here's a charity bit. It made it feel more sporting, which I think is a legitimacy that Bobby and his MMA past brings. So I did like that. We got a whole new presentation of Lashley for what was essentially a prolonged squash match that he won. We've now got a little sort of video, a pre-entrance video.
I love it. Absolutely. I love it. And like, not only that, but you notice like he turns into the AR, and like the AR like turns back into him. Like I think the presentation, this is really cool. And it makes me think, he is not a transitional champ here. I don't think he's dropping the belt at Mania. This felt like the presentation of a long-term champion. And I am all in for that, because I thought Lashley looked awesome. Absolutely awesome in all of this.
If I had to be hypercritical, I think they are confusing a couple of themes here. Like, it's all based around the almighty Bobby Lashley. And he is a god. He's like this Greek god from Olympus who's come down to kick ass. We've got lightning. He, like, it's all very sort of holy and Greek style, the little package that happens before his Hurt Business entrance. And then we get the Hurt Business bit. I'm like, huh. I love, like, it's great presentation, really makes him feel big time. But I would prefer it to lean more into the business CEO of Pain vibe.
I agree, but they're really leaning into this almighty thing. Just in case you didn't quite pick up on it, they said it a lot in the opening video package. Bobby Lashley then said it a lot during his promo. The Miz said it a lot during his promo. And then the commentary said it a lot during the match. He is almighty. That's his gimmick. He is the almighty. This is the almighty era. So, and I think if you are going with the almighty thing, you do have to step away from the business part of the Hurt Business and just focus on this part instead.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't go almighty. I'll go the CEO or something like that. The chief executive of Pain.
You can't put that on t-shirts. That's too much to put on a t-shirt.
Have you seen
WWE's like t-shirt design? That's way too much work to make that fit onto a t-shirt.
Three letters. So the Thunderdome fans had their thumbs down for Bobby. So that implies to me that they're getting some direction he's a heel.
They 100% will have been told by the director to give a thumbs down. But I didn't notice that. But this whole presentation to me felt like a babyface thing. So that's clearly me being off with what they're presenting on TV.
There's definitely elements of grey for Bobby's character, but he beat Miz. He sort of drew it out. Miz was never any real trouble to him, made him tap in the Hurt Lock. Drew McIntyre's watching backstage, and then Drew's attacked as he starts to cut a promo on Bobby. He gets attacked by Sheamus, and Adam Pearce books a no DQ match in a few segments' time.
Yes, which, you know, I'm kind of in for, because I really loved their match last week. But when you open this like show with Bobby Lashley versus The Miz for the WWE Championship and then say, and the next match is going to be Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus, I'm like, cool, this is exactly the show I saw last week.
But it was good. Both of those were good. Best things on Raw, I thought. We also got, this was meant to be a championship celebration for Bobby. That was dropped without anything.
Yeah, well, you know, plans change. Yeah.
Plans change. We got a little trailer for WrestleMania back in business. because we're going to have people there, of course. You had The Rock's voice going, finally, about having people. And they were pushing very hard. Hey, tickets are going to go on sale at this point next week. So, yeah, very much looking forward to it.
So, same here. Really, really am looking forward to this. We also got a promo package for Rhea Ripley. We had two of these through the night. Coming soon, she is, which means to me, still says to me, they have zero plans for her. And, like, I'm a big fan of MasterChef, as you well know. It's one of my favorite TV shows. BBC do this a lot where, like, they don't tell you what the air date is. They just say it's coming soon. And That doesn't get me excited for MasterChef. What gets me excited for MasterChef is knowing that it's about to happen. And now they're doing the same thing with The Great British Menu, another show that I absolutely love. Keep playing trailers for it and being like, it's coming soon. I'm like, cool, but when? Because when you tell me when, and I can get excited for it. And I was thinking about that a lot with Rhea Ripley, because I'm not getting excited for Rhea Ripley, because coming soon means diddly dick.
So I used to work in TV, and I will tell you the general rule of thumb for this. Coming soon is 4 to 2 weeks away from premiere. Then the date is done from 2 weeks out, and then the week out from the premiere is the specific time and date.
So what you're saying is that Rhea Ripley will be debuting, well, we've had 2 weeks
last
worth
week.
Of coming soon.
Yeah. Last week.
Okay.
But yeah, if you get angsty about when The Apprentice is going to start, that's when it's happening. Then we got the Braun promo with Shane McMahon, the first part one of it, God, and the R-Truth comedy. But then we did get Drew versus Sheamus. Started off super hot. Drew attacked Sheamus in his entrance. No DQ, so loads of weapon spots. We got kendo sticks, chairs, and it was like really good from the start bit. And then they had a commercial break and they came back and it was even better. Like all these really cool creative spots built around their offense. We got Sheamus threw a chair into a Claymore attempt. Oh. Drew then hit the Claymore and Sheamus fell out the ring. I'm like, no, oh, he can't pin him now. Drew gets out there, bro kick. Awesome stuff. And the crowd even start going, this is awesome. I'm like, for once, that's deserved. They both pick up the steel steps, charge at each other like jousters. They hit each other in a way where they headbutt the steps. And then Drew spills over the barricade. Sheamus is there on the floor. And the referee rules a no contest draw kind of thing. A crappy finish to what was an excellent match.
Yeah, really, really good. Sean Ross App was saying on Fightful Select that apparently Vince McMahon loved the match between Drew and Sheamus last week, like absolutely loved it. And, you know, he and a lot of other the higher ups are saying, you know, that this is Sheamus's best work that he has done in WWE. So I wonder if off the back of that match last week, which, you know, really felt like it was kind of the blow off to this because Drew won clean and it was, you know, it was a decisive win. There was no like shenanigans in all of this. Drew won the match and they were, you know, establishing him as the number one contender to the title. But I wonder if because Vince loved the match last week so much that he now wants to spin it off into an actual feud. And this, you know, might lead now to a pay-per-view match at Fastlane for the number one contendership.
Spinning off into an actual feud? You mean the feud that they had last month where all of WWE's management said, yeah, but that's not a good enough feud. On camera, in storyline, they said it wasn't good enough. And then, you know, if that's the case, and I agree with you, I think that's what's happening behind the scenes, don't do the match here. Like, have an angle here.
Yeah, they did have an angle here.
Well, don't give us that incredible match then. Save that match for the pay-per-view, and then you can give us an actual finish.
I know, but Davis, they've got 3 hours to fill. So you need to have a 20-minute match here to fill that's up fair. Some of the time that you've got.
That's fair. I can't argue with that. So what I really did like here, and I love Drew's attention to detail, you see it all the time in his matches, is the way it's weird for him to fall over the barricade at the end. Mm. Like they could have just fallen sort of on the same side and referees would check. I thought it was such a, and I've got to think it was intentional, just a really smart physical representation of this divide that's come between two friends.
Ooh, that's nice. I like that. That's really cool. I really like it. I think that's a really, really nice thing. If that is what is intentional, and you know, Drew is a man who is intention to detail oriented, and Sheamus as well in this feud, to give him credit. I love that, actually. I think that's really, really nice.
We got a recap of the stupid Randy versus Fiend feud so far, and that went into this guy called Kevin Patrick. Who's he? A backstage interviewer.
He's their new Irish interviewer, and he's called Kevin. And he's their new broadcast colleague.
Why didn't he get any coming soon video packages? You can't just chuck a guy in front of me. I'm used to tiny women interviewing wrestlers.
I know.
I'm taking a new person.
Oh, I was so surprised at seeing this new backstage interviewer that I didn't catch his name. I had to rewind it to be like, what was the guy's name again? Oh, it's Kevin Patrick.
This was the newest thing on this episode of Raw. Everything else we've seen a million times before. Anyway, AJ Styles was being interviewed by him, and Randy got in his face. AJ was like, "You've lost it, mate." And Randy's like, "I haven't lost it." And he's obviously going a bit crazy because of what the Fiend's doing to him. And they booked a main event for later on. A WrestleMania caliber main event as commentary spunked over themselves of Randy versus AJ.
I literally wrote in my notes here, AJ Styles accepts the match. I'm waiting for Tom Phillips to call this a WrestleMania caliber match. And then just as I finished typing that, Tom Phillips, like clockwork, it's a WrestleMania caliber match.
It is. I love them. I love them both wrestling.
Dude, they literally had a WrestleMania match. So it is a WrestleMania caliber match.
Shelton Benjamin then took on Xavier Woods in that sort of standard champion, tag champions in a singles match get beaten by the sort of challengers. So Woods beat him in a couple of minutes. Good stuff, but they think any time. Yeah, for the titles?
For the titles next week. Yeah, they announced two title matches for next week, which is New Day versus The Hurt Business for the tag titles and Riddle versus Ali for the US title. Mm. And yeah, it was weird because they announced the tag title match and then had this singles match where Woods picked up the win. So it almost felt like you could have done this match that would have then set up the match for next week, as opposed to doing it kind of the other way around in reverse. But yeah, it was decent stuff, just very short. And Woods got a sneak roll up for the win.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Hurt Business drop it next week. I do not want them to. I think that's a terrible idea. But I can see WWE going, but we need some we need to freshen up the tag division that we haven't done anything with for 4 months.
I got the Hurt Business to retain, only because Woods picked up the win here.
After that, we got the other kind of setup match for the title match next week. Matt Riddle took on Slapjack ahead of Riddle versus Ali. I thought this was very good for, again, very short match, but man, it was high octane. Riddle's great. It's like Riddle and Slapjack said to each other, as stupid characters before the bell, whatever. As soon as the bell rings, let's have an actual proper modern wrestling match. So I appreciated that. Riddle won with the bro Derek.
Yeah, I thought this was really, really fun, actually. It's the promo that Matt Riddle had backstage talking about his scooter, and then the New Day came backstage and talked about his scooter, made me not like any of them. But then Matt Riddle came out and started kicking the crap out of Slapjack, and I was like, oh yeah, no, he's awesome. I forget about, like, he's really good in the ring. And you know, with Slapjack, is it's the dumbest name, but it's still Shane Thorne, and Shane Thorne's really good. So this was really, really fun, and it sets up Ali versus Riddle next week. I imagine Riddle's going to retain, but you know, putting the title onto Ali might not be the worst thing in the world. Might give Retribution some legitimacy, maybe.
Yeah, and it kind of cements Ali as the leader, because he shouted at Slapjack again here for losing. He's been berating them for weeks. And I just think, well, why? What has he ever done for them? Why would they stick around? I guess bringing them into the main roster, but it's hardly been a success. We also got a little graphic at the bottom of William Regal saying he has two game-changing NXT announcements for Wednesday's episode.
Yeah, so the running theory is that, because there are three announcements that are to be made, really, which is that NXT is moving to Tuesdays, two-night takeover, and the introduction of the NXT women's tag team titles, which the latter of which I think is a huge error, because the last thing this company needs is more tag titles, or more titles, really. Particularly when, like, the whole point of the WWE women's tag titles is that you can go between all three brands. I think you need to have an NXT version of this. So it'll be two of those three essentially being announced this coming Wednesday.
Definitely. I think, yeah, takeover, move to Tuesday nights. And for everyone asking, we're working on it. We're working on what our NXT plan is going to be. Then we got the Shane and Braun segment. Good God, it took up about an hour just by itself, or at least it felt like it. And then we got, have you seen my Raw review video from this morning?
I have not, no.
I couldn't get through this. I never break. And if I do break, or corpse, as we call it in the UK, I don't let it into the episode. But I rarely break. I couldn't get through this bit without laughing. Because what happened, folks, is we got a video recap package of Nia Jax doing my whole ow. And then it's also International Women's Day. So they go from that to a package saying, hey, International Women's Day. And then they come back and are like, remember our Girl Up campaign, supporting women and young girls and stuff in the world. Isn't that great? And they do that over just this throwaway Divas era storyline that was more focused on Samelia Reginald, who's on Raw now with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. How about three gimmicks that have no reason to be anywhere near each other? And of course, Reginald's in the match. It's just, he distracts Naomi. Lana takes the pin. Just utter, utter nonsense. And WWE like, oh God, women. Brilliant.
So, this is, bear in mind now, we are into the third hour of this show. Like, all the stuff that we talked about, which wasn't much, was 2 hours of television. Long, old 2 hours. And in this, you know, the start of this third hour, we got the recap that you spoke there, the promo for Girl Up and International Women's Day, the tag match, a promo for Charlotte Flair being on Straight Up Steve Austin, a promo for Rhea Ripley, and then Not Renee interviewing Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke with Charlotte Flair appearing. And I thought to myself, it was weird because I was like, man, we're 2 hours into the show. We haven't had any women on this show whatsoever. And it is International Women's Day. And then they did all of this. And I wrote my notes. I feel like I'm watching Dynamite. You know when Dynamite groups all of their women's segments together and they're in the final hour of the show? That's what we got here. These women's segments were not spread out throughout the show. They were all condensed into the women's section of this show. It really was like Dynamite.
And none of them were good. Like this tag match, you know, Reginald is on Raw now. So Carmella fired him on SmackDown. Sasha slapped him. Like, I don't know why that wasn't the end of Reginald. No, he has not been a success as a character. I don't know anything about the performer really, but like the stuff that's been given to him has been crap. Who thought? Again, it's like, oh, people don't like this character. Let's put him with another character to get the more heel heat. When it's like, it's the bad kind of heat. It's, I don't want to watch this show anymore heat.
At least. I mean, is he though? I was about to say, at least he's not in the Banks stuff anymore. Because like, I do not need Reginald involved in my Banks versus Bianca Belair feud. But as Pete pointed out in our morning meeting today, because I said, oh no, Reginald's on Raw now. Like, I've literally written in my notes, oh no, he's on Raw now. And then Pete was like, yeah, but Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are still defending the titles against Belair and Banks at Fastlane, so he's still going to be on SmackDown. Mm. And I was like, I don't need him in that feud. And, with Nia Jax, I think it makes more sense for him to be involved with Nia Jax, but at the same time, like, I'm not into it whatsoever.
He's a sommelier. Why does it make more sense for him to be with Nia Jax?
Because he is this, like, you know, he's the cuck of this relationship, right? Like, because Nia Jax is the big, strong woman. So it's funny that the small man is, you know, is being kind of looked after by the much larger lady. That's the comedy right there. Plus, he's Women's a sommelier. Do you remember, like, how much we laughed when, oh, how we laughed, when WWE hate the word manager so much, they're going so far away from using manager, they've introduced a sommelier. Yes. He's not a manager, though. He's a sommelier.
It was all bad. This total waste of Naomi. Like, I'm annoyed with myself for even getting excited that she was back because, of course, the company doesn't see anything in her. It's those sorts of wrestlers, like Christian, that the company have never seen anything in and will never see anything in. So there's no point getting excited about people like Naomi, about people like Chad Gable, because it's never going to happen for them in WWE. It's absolutely soul-crushing. I hate it. And yep, that was bad. Nia won. This was a feud, by the way, that's been built up for about a month. So whatever. It just makes me not care about anything. Then, yeah, this clip of Charlotte on the Stone Cold Steve Austin show, putting her over as a baby face driving a shark speedboat thing. I described it in my review as like, please like Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She is totally the baby face. She's the queen. She is the baby face that we all love.
And then we got yeah, that the Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke are like, oh boy, howdy, you know, the most unconvincing friends in all of WWE, and that's saying something. They're like, boy, howdy, we're going to go to WrestleMania and get the women's tag team titles. Like, oh God, that's such a boring feud that we've already had. And Charlotte walks in, insisting on wearing heels, presumably. She's a full head taller than both of them. Like, the camera has to reframe up to get them all in screen. Such like, and she's like, huh, you show it to me. You got 5 weeks from here to Mania. Like, she's this locker room leader. She is so unlikable as a screen presence. She's a heel.
I know, man. But like, she's the baby face in their eyes. And like, it's been very much like reported, as we kind of speculated, the plan was for Lacey Evans to beat Asuka for the title at Fastlane, and then Charlotte Flair and Lacey would fight for the title at WrestleMania. Apparently, like, Rick was like pitching for him to have a match, like to get involved in a match at some point, whatever that would have been. So that the plan was Charlotte was going to beat Lacey Evans as the big baby face at WrestleMania. Now that Lacey Evans is pregnant, they've now got to have Asuka in a match, which they don't really want to do because Asuka is another one of those talents that they just don't see anything in, despite the fact she's been champion for almost a year at this point, outside of the two-week Sasha Banks run that she had. And so the story is that Charlotte has demanded this match, but for Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, they are going to fight for their opportunity, right? That's what they were saying in all of this. It's just like, we're not just going to ask for a match. We're going to prove that we deserve this shot. And I guess that the story they've been telling now for the last 5 months with this is that they cannot beat the champions. Like, because they have had match after match after match, singles match after singles match after singles match against Jackson Baszler, and they've never won. So I think in WWE's eyes, they have told a compelling story of the baby faces cannot beat these heels, but come WrestleMania, they will. And it's like the Daniel Bryan yes moment when like they finally overcome the odds and they finally get the win. Only I don't think they've told that story well. And so I'm absolutely not invested in Rose and Brooke as a tag act, because even when they aren't facing Jackson Baszler, they still lose. So, but who are they going to beat now? Like, who are they going to feud with? Like, who are they going to prove themselves to over the next 5 weeks? Like, Naomi and Lana, I guess? They're the only other team that's on Raw.
Yeah, and at the crux of it, they're not engaging characters in the way they're currently being presented. They're totally cardboard cutout style characters.
I mean, David, did you see the moment when they flex their arms?
And they're blonde. Yeah. And the main event was AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. Legit a good match. I really enjoyed this. They've got great chemistry together. And Randy did show this like fiendish side to him. He definitely wrestled differently, more aggressive, more pacey. And they worked a lot of cool stuff around each other's usual spots. Omos distracted Randy because he's just so big. But the ultimate distraction came when Alexa Bliss appeared on the screen with a Jack in the Box, which is a good gimmick because it's from out of nowhere. And the pyro went on the corners, but only three of them. And Randy started vomiting black liquid. Referee didn't call it off then. And AJ won with a phenomenal forearm. And Bliss laughed to close the show.
Yeah. We've said it time and time again, they do not know how to book this feud for a long time, but they have got a long time. So we've got another 5 weeks of this feud still to come. The recap package of this really did highlight how silly this whole feud has been.
Good match. Really good match, actually.
Really good.
Terrible finish with a terrible supernatural feud. And we're back again to the supernatural rubbish being the final show closing cliffhangers, which is a bad place to be. And yeah, just all heels. And no Damian Priest. Bad sign.
Well, Bad Bunny
couldn't be there. So that means no Damian Priest at all.
Well, that's exactly it. Because again, they're using Bad Bunny to give Priest the rub. So if you haven't got Bad Bunny there, then why would you put Damian Priest out to, you know? And actually, do you know what? I will ask you this.
Squash?
Yeah, but who's he going to squash? Elias again? He's going to have another competitive match with Elias? Just squash Garza again? Squash, I don't know, is Humberto Carrillo still employed? Is he on Raw? Is he just squash him? Like, what what were they going to do? So if you don't have anything for them, just don't put them out on TV. I kind of prefer it that way, as opposed to just putting them out there and having another competitive match with Elias.
It's more just like depressing that they can't yeah. find anything for him. So overall, I gave this a 3 out of 5. Crapped on it a lot because, again, the middle part was really, really bad. But actually, the opening stuff with the Drew Sheamus, the Bobby presentation, and the action of the main event, I thought were very good. So yeah. by Raw's current standards, 3 out of 5.
I also gave it a 3 out of 5 as well. I thought it was a perfectly fine episode of television. There was nothing really to write home about, but there's nothing like massively bad on the show, but mostly because the bad stuff on the show is yes, but I was gonna say the bad stuff we've seen on the show is bad stuff that we've already seen, so it doesn't feel quite so bad when you've seen it multiple times over. The community poll was also very much in line with us, 53% giving it an average. But you know, it's leaning more towards the bottom half there, because 2 out of 5, 23%, 10% yeah. thinking it was a 1 out of 5 show. There was someone in the chat, though, in the replies, who did think that this was a great show of Raw and scored it a 5 out of 5. So, you know, credit to you if you really enjoyed this show. There was 5% of the people who did think that this was a 5 out of 5 perfect episode of the show.
Well, before we get on with all of our hyper chats, get them into wrestletalk.com/support. Let's thank our brilliant pledge hammers on Patreon, our $25 a month or more backers. Luke and I will have a Wrestle Talk extra review of WrestleMania 19. Yes. Look at that poster.
Oh. It is, yeah. It is a show that has got Jericho versus Michaels, Austin in his retirement match against The Rock, the third time they've had a WrestleMania match together, Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar in that Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar match, and Hogan versus Vince McMahon in genuinely, shockingly a great match. Like, it is on paper, should have been an absolute disaster, but in reality, it were bloody brilliant.
So go over to Patreon, become a pledge hammer. You can get that when it's live. And you might even get a shout out on this show, like our $25 backers. Hit the music. The man who wears the gold. The man recognized by SWAF Nation International as the 24/7 champion. Our legend.
The incredible Tarzo.
LL Cool J Pods.
Send me to heaven, Evan Reich.
Intense. Frank Campos.
Pledge Hammer Power, Hero in a Half Shell.
Spoken class today, Jeremy Smith.
Michael Plowman, that's his name. That name again is Michael Plowman.
The notorious Ali Atta.
The good bad guy, Bryant Heath.
Pick him up, Loot Sponge.
And lastly, for this Hall of Fame class on the 9th of March, 2021, Golden Nick Holden.
Thank you ever so much to all of you there. Right, hyper chat time. Rob Steedley. Do you think they're waiting for Lesnar to come back to have that Lashley versus Lesnar match? I certainly hope so. You know, that's what we want him to sort of retain against Drew, Brock at SummerSlam. I think that's a brilliant way.
Same here. Yeah, maybe, like, I don't know, because they do want to have a big spectacle for Mania, so Brock, you know, would be that. But who are you going to have Brock face at Mania to kind of get you ready for the Lashley match? Maybe the best option is keeping him off TV until we get around to SummerSlam.
I think bring Brock back the night after Mania. I think it's too soon to put together a proper program for him now. Gareth Chesney, best way to get Bobby as a face is for MVP to bring Keith Lee into the Hurt Business, which causes friction before Bobby leaves. Bobby is out of the Hurt Business and Lee becomes the Bobby-style powerhouse of the group, plus could be a beefy one-on-one.
Did you see Keith Lee's tweet today, yesterday? They just said, I know, I miss you all too. So... Like, it makes me sad because the report was that Keith is injured, but that kind of suggests that he is injured and he just misses being out there, or maybe it's a case of he just doesn't really, you know, there's nothing for him. Like, the company didn't have much direction. The storyline that he had was, oh, I think Sheamus is going to turn on Drew. And then Sheamus turned on Drew and Keith didn't care.
Well, I think keep Bobby with the Hurt Business. I don't want to say, I think you can have him in there and just turn the Hurt Business into a badass tweener faction. And with Keith Lee, I think just have him feud with them. I think that's good enough. The Jam 1, Ryan B. Jam. Raw had about 10 minutes of women's stuff on International Women's Day. Do you want to do it?
This company.
Ollie Breaking joined the news this morning, kind of made up for this terrible Raw. Nate S, they can have the Fiend explode out of Randy, alien style in the funhouse, and then, just like Ray's eye, they can explain that they were able to reattach Randy's ribs and chest, and he should make a full recovery. Or there was a smaller chest just underneath.
Well, the benefit of doing it inside the Firefly funhouse is that nothing's really real in there. So it could have just been an illusion of the funhouse, and he's actually A-okay.
Nothing's really real on Raw either. It's always contradicting itself. Hello donated. No, their name's just Hello there, not donated. Drew versus Sheamus had a great match until the dud finish. If AEW did that, you'd love... What's that? That just happened Sunday? They didn't like it? I shouldn't be negative. I have to say something, you shill marks.
Very good.
Yes, we do criticize AEW too. Activity Man, at least back in business is better than in the big city or Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, no, I don't think you can get any better than Electric Boogaloo. That's you mock Electric Boogaloo, stood the test of time. People are still making references to it, 30-odd years later.
And Greg Murphy, follow up. Yesterday I said Revolution was as bad as December to Dismember, and Ollie said I should go back and watch, so I did. I would like to officially take back my statement, as that is an absolutely stinking pay-per-view. I may have overreacted to Revolution. Hashtag recency bias. Yes, recency bias is real, folks. Let's not lose sight of the grand arcs of history. Your garbage mate, they're saying, like garbage with an accent. Okay. Hello, lads. How do you save the botched finish of Revolution, have the real Hall of Fame-worthy talent Goldberg debut for AEW, and have Kenny drop the belt after he kicks out of the one-winged angel? Hashtag my hole, hashtag jam.
It's only one way out of it. I mean, that is digging your way out.
You go.
You save your voice, mate. You've had a long old couple of days. Nate S says, I don't believe for one second that Ollie Davis doesn't still think that Lola Bunny is hot. I believe in the mirror Randy Orton bit more than that Oliver Davis lie. Kawaii. Jack Crocombe? I also love the Great British Menu. It's bloody brilliant, right? It's so good. Like, I kind of miss the days when it was on 5 days a week and it ran for like 3 months. But still, like, you know, I love the new format of it. I think it's a really great show. Miguel Martinez, Ollie Davis losing his composure during the news was adorably genuine. Keep up the consistency, boys. By the way, what's your guys' thought on Snyder's Justice League?
Doesn't need to happen. And it's a big waste of money. And the studios have no idea what to do about streaming.
I think it is. I mean, it's not the Snyder Cut. It is possibly the first example in movie history of a mulligan, where it was like, oh man, the first one we made was rubbish. Let's listen to all of the fan feedback of it and just redo it with all the stuff that the fans wanted in the movie. And then it looks like we're appeasing to the fans. So it's interesting from sort of a history aspect, but I've little interest in seeing a 4-hour Zack Snyder Justice League movie. I had zero interest in watching a 2-hour Zack Snyder Justice League movie, let alone 4 hours. Yes, Mr. Davis.
Recut it as a limited series.
Probably. But long story short, I don't think I'm that interested into it either. Myron Speed, shout out. Also, the Joker looks so silly. It looks well funny. Myron Speed, shout out to all the incredible ladies on International Women's Day that helped make WrestleTalk what it is. Looking at you, Mod Mother. Special thanks to your respective lady partners for everything that they put up with. Kawaii Davis needs a Maki Ito dye job. You could do that, actually. Yes, that's a great idea to do, like the red and black dye hair on. Oh, that's a wicked idea.
Not this hair. This is the source of my power. I won't be kawaii without the hair.
And then finally, Anonymous says, afternoon, guys. Long time no Ultra Chad. Kawaii Ollie Davis, you say. I think it's time to charge up the tablet and draw some new fan art.
It's officially a draw. It's making money. Thank you, everybody, ever so much. 54 minutes, Luke. We did it.
Yes. Well, one of the benefits...
We went for an hour 47 minutes yesterday.
One of the benefits of Raw doing essentially the same show it did last week is there's less to say about it. That's one way around it. Yes.
We still love you. We're sorry we're not here for you. Massively beyond our time limit that we impose ourselves every episode. But thank you ever so much for joining us and all of your hyper chats and anyone who went over to Patreon as well. Go check out Wrestling Daily. Wrestling Daily have an interview with Big Cass on tonight. So that's going to be very interesting. Of course, made his return over the weekend, two weekends ago. And what else is coming up on the WrestleTalk podcast channel, Luke?
Well, this week we've got the AEW Dynamite review, see how they can dig their way out of the hole that they created at Revolution. Then it'll be the Friday show with myself and Denise Salcedo talking about the biggest news from the week of wrestling and your Patreon mailbag questions. And then Pete and Andy will be live on Saturday doing the SmackDown review as well, as we're building towards Fastlane. We'll have predictions for that show next week and live reactions where Ollie Davis, Mr. Davis, will be challenging for the Jam That Championship ahead of WrestleJamia. It's his last chance to get the belt before WrestleJamia.
Jam That Jam.
Jam That Jam, everyone. Now, I'd loaded up the support@wrestletalk.com inbox because that is where all of our emails get sent to us, all of our correspondence. So I could go through who is Alec Baldwin to you, because we've still got some stragglers who are still trawling through his IMDb list to say a film that hasn't been said previously. But this email caught my eye. I don't think, you know, it's not sort of intended for this podcast, but I'm going to go through this anyway. I wanted to send this to you. I don't have the capacity or time to record a better version of it. I think it needs less SRS, but I think it works as a demo version. Not the best with bongos either. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this Quizzlemania song I've made.
Ooh.
Would you like to hear this Quizzlemania song? Should we play this live?
Is Megalodon a 25-foot prehistoric shark? Yes!
Right, well, let's share screen two. Am I going to be one of those things where I can't share the audio? If I set this up now and I can't actually do it. Oh, Luke, no, mate.
We've been through this 4 months ago.
I kept trying to share audio with me on the podcast. I thought this one would work. Let's see if I try this. Aha! I've nailed it. It's absolutely fine. Chrome tab, Quizlemania demo, share audio. Boom! Right in there. Right, okay, so this is the Quizlemania song.
I said, are you ready for the survival of the people who know the most about a very specific wrestling category?
How many rounds are there here?
Three. It's Wrestle Talk, it's not Quizlemania. Just like that! Just like that!
I thought I was done with you, Val Venus! You and your fucking advice and your conspiracy theories!
Some pigeons got in there, got trapped, died. And then more people. They also did shit, and then they also died.
I've sat here for the last 2 months. 2 months watching what Quizlemania has become. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see the reign of terror that has unfolded under
many rounds on.
Oh, oh, Quizlemania, who will be the champ? Pump it up, pump it up. Oh, oh, Quizlemania, time to jam that jam. Just like that, just like that.
I am a man of
a I mean, it has got a lot of Sean in there, hasn't it?
I had to mute my mic because I was laughing too much, and that was cancelling out the audio from the audio share.
Oh, that was, mate.
Was that it? I was into that.
No. There's another like 2 minutes of this left. Oh. It's a 3:40 song, obviously, of the WrestleMania song. I don't know if you heard the great thing then, where it was like Quizzlemania, who will be the champ? Then you do the Quizzlemania thing again. It's like time to jam that jam. It's actually quite clever.
I like it. I like how it reminds me of many other songs, like a bit of Uncle Cracker. I got a bit of in there.
Follow me and everything is all right.
You laugh, but the opening guitar bit was similar. Oh, that sounds familiar as well.
That's because it's the WrestleMania song.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the WrestleMania song.
Well played. You know more in jokes than I do, and I work here. That's that's pretty. Who made that?
So that was made by John Campbell, who has said that. He said, if you want to make some edits, I can send the GarageBand file for someone who's got a Mac. You can essentially just do it yourself.
Nice one. I mean, so many questions. But firstly, why bongos? What was the artistic choice and decision-making process like to get to bongos?
Do you think it's like there's a bongo section, like a bongos thing in GarageBand, and you're like, well, that's what I'm heading for. Or I've got a set of bongos and I don't have a drum loop that I can find. So yeah. I'll just use the bongos here rather than find a drum loop that will fit the guitar for the WrestleMania song.
I think John's just doing a bongo flex because he said, hey, guys, I'm not that good at the bongos. Cue me playing the bongos pretty damn well. He is bongoing for compliments.
Bongoing for compliments. That's nice. I like that a lot.
I thought that was really good, John. I'm going to listen to the rest of it. We should share that with Adam. Maybe leave a little a place on next week's Quizzlemania.
I actually 100% think we should do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to file this away into Adam's section of the support inbox. And so he won't answer it because Adam doesn't check the support inbox, despite the fact I keep telling him to check the support inbox. So what I'll do is I'll put it in his pigeonhole, and then I'll message him being like, Adam, there is a thing that you need to check. And eventually he'll get to it.
He told me last week when I told him to check the emails for the lovely fans who send in correspondence for us to get back to them. And he said he was making a weekly reminder. So fingers crossed.
Anyway, that was wonderful. I am actually going to have to do some censoring on that, though, because Sean Ross Sapp has got a potty mouth. And
filthy.
He swore during that song because he was very angry at Val Venus. Have you got anything on for this evening, or is it just more relaxation?
It's relaxation in a post-revolution world. Like it was a long content producing day, and night. Only had 2 hours, didn't sleep brilliantly last night, and I've just got to recover still. I'm still upset about that goddamn explosion. I've gotten over the anger, and like AEW should have had a backup plan. I'm doing an impression of myself there moaning. Don't worry. And now I'm just sad for them.
Yeah. That's the mode I was in yesterday, where I was just sad by the whole thing. And like people keep making fun of it, which 100% they should be doing, because it's so easy to make fun of, and it should be mocked, and they should make fun of it. But every time I see someone making fun of it, I just think about Kenny scrolling through Twitter and seeing it, and then getting sad again. Omega, that is, not Macintosh. I'm sure that he's probably making fun of it himself.
Should we spam nice stuff to Kenny's timeline? Reverse trolling, what it's called.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, I thought that there isn't like a nice troll thing. There isn't a reverse troll. If you're listening to this, go send Kenny Omega a nice message. Let him know that it's all right, that it went wrong.
Lort him. That's reverse troll.
Right. Anyway, we need to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you not tomorrow. It's next week. We'll see you on Thursday for the AEW Dynamite review. See how they dig themselves out of that hole. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.